This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Zaidan, and today I'm here with Sheikh Saad Taslim. He's a very well-known Sheikh and one of the youngest Sheikh right now. I welcome you to the show, Sheikh.
Thank you very much. Jazakallah khair. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
What should I call you? Saad?
You can call me whatever you like. You can call me whatever you like. Call me Saad. Saad is fine. Alhamdulillah.
Yes. How are you, Saad?
I'm doing well, alhamdulillah. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. Good as well.
Alhamdulillah.
How is your stay in the Maldives?
So far, it's been absolutely wonderful, alhamdulillah. I always look at something and I think, this is very beautiful, until I see something else and I'm like, this is even more beautiful. So, alhamdulillah, you have a beautiful country here. If I was to say there's one thing more beautiful than the country, I would say it's the people. The people are more beautiful than the country.
I have a question, right?
Sure.
So, when you were landing in the airplane, what were you experiencing?
What was I experiencing in terms of sights or in terms of...
No, it's like some people, when they land, they feel like it's going to crash the plane since the runway is fully surrounded by water.
Yeah, but... okay. So, I actually did a little bit of research into Maldives before I came, and I actually had friends from Maldives from before as well. So I kind of had an idea of what to expect. And so I knew that obviously Maldives is made up of a bunch of islands, and the islands are small. And so I figured that, you know what, we're probably going to be landing and it's going to look like we're landing in water. And I actually went to another place where the airport was very similar. And that was my actually first experience of feeling like you're landing in water. That was pretty bad. This time, alhamdulillah, it wasn't a problem.
You were expecting it, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't scary at all.
No, it wasn't scary, alhamdulillah. It was more, like I said, it was more beautiful than anything. I was more concerned with how beautiful everything looks.
The view, you can see Malabar landing, right?
Yeah, I can see the city, yeah.
Very beautiful view, right?
Yes, indeed, very much.
I heard that you were in a punk band before.
Who told you that?
That is true.
Now look, a lot of times when people talk about me, they say like, he used to be a rock star and things like that. That's not true. My band was never like very famous or anything like that. It was a high school band. I was in a band, you know, like a punk rock metal band, and it was a big part of my life, obviously. But I wasn't a rock star or anything like that.
No. What made you change your mind?
What made me change my mind? SubhanAllah, that's actually a very, very long story. But if I had to break it down, if I really had to go to the core of what it was, I basically came to a place in my life where I was looking for more meaning in my life than just the everyday things or just the common things that I think a lot of young people look for, and that's, you could break it down into wealth, trying to be rich, popularity, getting attention, that's just a couple of those things, you know. And for me, I'd reached a point in my life, even though I was young, but I'd reached a point in my life where I kind of came to the conclusion that there has to be more to life than simply wanting to make a lot of money or to be famous or to just have as much fun as possible, right? And I think that's, a lot of people live their life from day to day and the idea is, well, I just want to have as much fun as possible in my life.
Yeah. Or get rich or become popular.
Exactly. And then you come to a point, you know, I came to a point in my life where I realized that you can keep chasing that high, keep chasing fun, and it's not going to get you anywhere. And for me, you know, I actually sat there one day and I kind of plotted my life. I kind of planned my life. And I thought to myself, if my life goes exactly the way I plan it, how is it going to end up? You know, kind of thinking in the future. So I said, okay, a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, let's say everything goes perfectly, right? So let's say, you know, my band does really well. We get a record deal. we become famous and rich and all this kind of stuff. And then what? What happens after that? And then I said, you know, let's say I end up at the end of my life, I'm on my deathbed, I'm about to die. I look back at my life and I just spent my whole life, you know, just chasing fun and just trying to make music. And then what? And I really felt like it was an empty life for me. And so I figured I have to figure out what the purpose of life is. And so it's in that moment that I started to look for the purpose of my life. And eventually I came to Islam. Eventually I turned to, even though my parents, they're Muslim, I was born in a Muslim household, I was raised in a Muslim household, but our Islam was very just like a cultural type of Islam. No one was really serious about practicing Islam. So, subhanAllah, it actually took me a while to come to Islam. That's, in a nutshell, I would say that's my journey from going to being in a punk rock band, albeit a high school band, but being in a punk rock band to eventually, you know, submitting and dedicating my life to Islam.
That story might be very useful for the young Maldivians interested right now in the musical field.
If you really study and understand music, you realize that when you get into it, you get really into it. And even now we know scientifically, like neurological studies show us that, you know, when they tested the brain and how the brain functions when it's exposed to music, there's a chemical in our brain known as dopamine.
Dopamine.
And it's basically, they call it the pleasure chemical. Basically, it's a chemical that gets released in our brain when we find something to be pleasurable. And so they found that when a person is listening to music, dopamine is being released in the brain. And so the person enjoys it, but not only that, the person craves it more and more and more and more.
And eventually gets lost in it.
Gets lost in it and gets addicted to it. And I know people, you know, they don't really think of, they don't think of it in that way, that, oh, I'm addicted to music. They just think of it, oh, it's just, you know, it's just, I just do it for fun or whatever. But in reality, there comes a point in your life where you listen to music, you pretty much get addicted to it. Right? Like where you can't function, you can't live a day without music. And that's why I tell people, I say, listen, how about you just stop listening to music just for a day? Right? And for some people, it's very difficult. It's like I can't, it's because they're so used to it. It's such a big part of their life because I think a lot of people are addicted to music. Right? And it's taken over their life. So,
what would your message be for the youth of the Maldives and the youth working in Dawah?
To the youth of Maldives or the young people in Maldives, my message is the same message to the youth all over the world. And that is that I honestly think that sometimes we treat young people like they're kids, right? We just tell them, you need to pray, be a good Muslim, do this and do this and do this and don't do this. And we've just made Islam into kind of like a set of rules and that's it. But actuality, Islam is supposed to affect every part of our life. And so I would tell young people that maybe look beyond just the halal and haram. Look beyond just the rulings of Islam and really ask yourself the question, or I would say the big questions of, number one, what is the purpose of your life? Like, why do you wake up in the morning and do what you do? What drives you in life? Is it really just to make more money, just to try to have as much fun as possible? Right, that's something that I think if you really think about that issue, it will lead you down a path to getting close to Allah and seeking out that spirituality. So what is the purpose of your life? Really think about that. Second of all, think about the fact that this life is temporary and we're not going to live forever. And as a matter of fact, we don't know how long we're going to live. And if I were to say to you, if I were to say to a young person, you know, you're going to die tomorrow, how would you live your life? I would imagine that they'd live their life in a very different way.
And
the reality is that we don't know if we're going to live till tomorrow or not. I don't even know if we're going to live for another hour. So maybe it's a good idea to figure out what the purpose of life is. Right? And the soul, the nafs, Allah has made us as beings that we need Allah to live a happy and content life. So no matter what you get from this dunya, we're not going to be fully content until we become those spiritual beings who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's my message. Look for a purpose in your life beyond just everyday stuff, beyond just money and wealth and, you know, popularity and blah, 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 having fun. And I think that will lead you on a path which will bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. for the people working in da'wah, subhanAllah, it's a long, hard road. And that is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the people who are calling others to goodness. The best example we have is the example of the prophets. They all had very, very difficult time, calling people to goodness. And the Prophet ﷺ, you know, he was some members of his family, he wasn't able to bring them to Islam. And I think patience is such an important thing, because when we get frustrated, when we lose patience, it's at that time that we become harsh with other people. You know, we just want to like force someone to listen to us. You know, and that's because we're lacking patience. The Prophets were not like that. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he was incredibly patient. And because he was patient, he was able to be lenient and gentle with people. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, that it is from the rahmah of Allah, it is from the mercy of Allah that you're lenient, you're gentle with the people. So every da'i must have patience, and every da'i, somebody who's calling to goodness, they must be gentle and lenient with the people. You cannot expect people to change overnight. You have to work on their hearts. You have to constantly remind them of Allah and just hope and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah guides them. So that's my message. That's my message, inshaAllah.
I hope your message reaches the Maldivian.
I do as well. I do as well.
So, Maldiv. How do you see Maldiv?
How do I see Maldives? Well, to be fair, I've only been here for a few days. But I've gotten to meet the people of Maldives, and honestly, I got this sense of, like when I came to Maldives, I got this sense of calm. And I feel like maybe it has something to do with the weather or, you know, the atmosphere.
Relaxing.
Is that true? Is that how Maldivians are? They're relaxed, very relaxed?
Yes, it's very relaxed.
Very relaxed. So that's how I felt. And I think that's great, subhanAllah. There's so many crazy things happening in the world right now. And, you know, there's so many issues happening in the world. And it seems like everywhere people are either upset or angry. And there's just so many issues. And to come to a country where people are just chill.
They're
relaxed, and people have, they're nice to one another, and they're kind and they're gentle, and you know, sometimes this is lacking in the world, you know. Just being kind to someone who disagrees with you. Being gentle with someone, being nice to someone, even though they don't agree with you, even though they're from a different background or they have different views and ideas. I think a society like this, where you have so many, you know, there are a lot of people who come here, tourists and so on and so forth, and to be able to see this diversity and to be so kind and gentle, I think that's an awesome trait. And for me, that's a takeaway. Like when I go back to America, inshallah, that's one of the things I'm going to take away from Maldives, is this the lifestyle of, you know, and the good character. Alhamdulillah.
It's very relaxing, right?
Yes, it is very relaxing, alhamdulillah.
You're staying at the Etayat, right?
Or yes,
the
yes.
Thailand Hotel.
Yes.
It's very great there as well, right?
Yeah, it's nice, alhamdulillah. It's very nice.
Accommodation as well.
I look out, you know, look outside and I just see the ocean, and it's great, alhamdulillah. Feels nice to be here, alhamdulillah.
So, what's your view on this program, the message?
Honestly, when I heard about it, I didn't believe it, that I was told that, subhanAllah, every month you guys invite a new speaker from all over the world. And I was like, really? Is that really possible? And then, subhanAllah, I realized that it's being put together by the Ministry of Islamic Affairs, right? And I was like, okay, that means it is possible, because there's a lot of time and money that goes into putting together something like that. It's not easy. So the fact that it's real and you guys are doing it, I think is amazing. The fact that people in Maldives can experience a new speaker every month, I think it's great. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you in this endeavor and to make it a success, make it a means of guidance for others. And I ask Allah to continue to give you the means and the resources to continue with this project, the message. I'm very happy to be part of it, alhamdulillah. Very honored to be invited. So I would thank you and thank everyone who invited me, alhamdulillah.
So I have one last question.
Sure. Sure.
Like, how would you describe Maldives to others?
How would I describe Maldives to others? You mean when I go home back to America? I would say, if you want to go to a... Okay, I've heard... I don't want to say this is my original statement. I heard it from someone, but I'll convey it. And that is this. Someone said to me, they said, you know, if Jannah, if paradise, were to be on earth, it would be in the city, it would be in Maldives. And subhanAllah, that's how I feel. That's and I haven't even seen all of Maldives. I've just seen a couple things here and there. And I know there's far more beautiful places in the islands around. But it is absolutely gorgeous. And the cherry on top, if you know what that expression means, basically.
Yeah.
The cherry on top is that it's a Muslim country. So that just makes it one of the, I would say, probably, I don't want to say the best place that I've been to in the world. I don't want to offend anyone or any other places that I've been to. But I would say one of the best places that I've been to on earth. Alhamdulillah. I'm, like I said, very happy to be here. And I actually would encourage everyone to come. If you're able to, if you have the ability, I know, things are, sometimes they're expensive and all that. Go make Hajj, go make Umrah, and once you did that, then maybe come to Maldives, inshallah.
As the third.
Yeah, as the third.
Have you seen one of the white sandy beaches?
I have seen I saw a beach today, actually, and it was quite white, and I was told that there are beaches in Maldives that are even more white than that. So I haven't seen it yet. Maybe I'll get a chance to see it, inshallah, before I leave.
It's one of the things you have to see with your visit to Maldives.
Inshallah. Inshallah. Looking forward to it.
So, yeah.
Inshallah.
Thank you for your time with us.
Thank you for having me.
Enjoy the rest of your stay in Maldives.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's been an honor and a pleasure. Alhamdulillah.